Chapter 15 now, Numbers 15. We'll comment on Proverbs 3 here in just a few moments, but Numbers 15 will be where we will start this morning in our sermon. We have those who are our guests this morning. We have a wonderful crowd. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back any and every opportunity that you get the chance. We want you to know that you do encourage us, and we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you are present to worship God. It says a lot about you that you would be here to worship God and to have an interest in spiritual things. We want you to know that you're always welcome here. And so thank you so much for your presence this morning. We have so many wonderful things to be grateful for. Yes, those of you who saw the bulletin, those of you who have commented to me about it, you're right, Mallory is expecting again. And so we are thankful for that. There are other moms that are expecting. Of course, Lisa's still expecting and Kristen as well. And so remember them in your prayers. And I just love the fact that Marley is here this morning. I haven't seen her yet, but I just love the fact that she's here this morning. And I know that you are as well. What a wonderful blessing that is. We're just truly blessed this morning, and we need to give God the glory and the honor for the things that He does for us in our lives. Let's go ahead and get into our reading this morning. Numbers 15, look at verse 32. Numbers 15, look at verse 32. Now, while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them, and not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot. So that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Back in Romans 15 and verse 4, Paul tells us that these things that were written in earlier times were written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And so when we get to Numbers 15, sometimes I think we get so consumed with the first 31 verses and all of the things that God has told Moses that the people should do and how Moses should instruct the people. And sometimes what happens is we read those first 31 verses and we skip right over this story at the end of Numbers 15, and we get right into Numbers 16 and we read about Korah's rebellion. But I want you to notice that this story here at the end of Numbers 15 was written for our instruction. It was written so that we can learn something. There is a very important message here in this story that I think is vital to our faith as godly people and as Christians. And it gives us great insight into the God that we serve. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever had to make a difficult decision? Have you ever been faced with situations and circumstances that force you to make a choice? And you just didn't know what choice to make. Have you ever found yourself fighting yourself about what you want versus what the right thing to do actually is? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been there? Have you ever faced that? I believe we all have faced these decisions from time to time. And I believe that part of our problem is that sometimes we make things harder for ourselves than they really have to be. Sometimes we get so bogged down in the minutiae of everything that is happening around us in this world and everything that is going on that we fail to see the bigger picture that is involved. And so we allow our circumstances and our biases and our own partiality to cloud our judgment. And when we do that, it's almost as if we are forcing ourselves to trust in self more than we trust in the Almighty God. That's where Proverbs 3 and verses 5 through 8 come in, where Mike read to us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, for it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Did you hear what Solomon says there? He says that as long as you trust in God, everything will be okay. If we always will acknowledge Him and His will, He will lead us down a straight path. If we will just rely on Him instead of relying on self, and if we will truly fear and respect Him, it will be healing to our bodies. In other words, it will be for our own good to trust in God. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, when I face situations in life, I don't always trust in God for everything. Oh, I trust in Him for some things. But when I am faced with a really difficult decision, a really hard choice, sometimes I fail to have the courage that God calls me to have to do the really hard things that God wants me to do. And I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when I fail to have the courage to do what God wants me to do, that shows that I lack faith in Him. We need to understand that. Amen. At the end of Numbers 15, Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel find themselves facing an extremely difficult decision. And I don't know if we always appreciate the gravity of this situation. This was a life and death situation. A man's life was thrown in the balances. He was caught doing something that God clearly did not want him to do. And so Moses and Aaron and the people had the unenviable task of trying to figure out what to do. They were facing a difficult decision. I want us to talk about this morning, because I believe there are some applications that we must make to be faithful children of God. Number one, I want you to notice that when God says something, He means what He says. And so when we're making a difficult decision, we need to remember that God means what He says. When He speaks, He means it. God's Word, His truth, is absolute. You know, sometimes we call it absolute truth. Really, that's what we would call an oxymoron, because God's truth is absolute. We really don't have to describe it as absolute before we say truth, because it's God's truth. And therefore, there's nothing that you or I can do to change the commandments, to change the wisdom that comes from God. And here in Numbers 15, at the end of it, we have a man who is working on the Sabbath day. So let me ask you a question. What's the big deal here? I mean, this sounds like a really small detail. Here's a man, he's just gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Why was Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel making such a big deal out of this? Well, you will remember back in Exodus 20 and verse 8 that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And in verse 8, He tells Moses that thou shalt remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then in Exodus 31, God regulates the Sabbath day. And He gives some specific instructions to Moses as to how the Sabbath day was to be kept holy. Go ahead and turn back to Exodus 31 and let's look at that together for just a second. Exodus 31, and look at verse 12 with me. Exodus 31, look at verse 12. The Bible says that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day He ceased from labor and was refreshed." Now I want you to notice some things about this passage and what this says. First of all, we get to the end of this passage and we clearly see that the Sabbath day was a sign, was a special sign between God and His people. And it was a special day that was to be observed by all of the children of Israel. In fact, God wanted the observance of the Sabbath to be holy for the children of Israel. He wanted it to be sacred for them. It was to be a day of complete rest. There was not much that you could do on the Sabbath day itself if you were a child of Israel. Therefore, if anyone profaned the Sabbath day, the passage tells us that there was punishment for that, that they would die. But I want you to notice the first three words of verse 12. The Bible says, "The Lord spoke." I don't know about you, but that pretty much sums it up for me. The Lord spoke. And when God speaks, He means it. When God speaks, He wants us to do what He says. And that is so important. And so at the end of Numbers 15, we have this situation where this man is gathering wood on the Sabbath day, and he was clearly violating God's commandments. Listen to me. He was clearly disobeying the law of the Lord. He clearly knew what the right thing to do was, and he chose not to do it. In James 4 and verse 17, James says, "To him who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin." And here we see this on the Sabbath day, that this man made a choice. It was a difficult choice. His choice wasn't difficult necessarily. He just made it. It was his decision. Ladies and gentlemen, when God speaks, He means it. This was not an issue that was left to human judgment or human interpretation. This was very clear. Let me suggest to you that God has spoken to us today. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, the Bible says that God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us through His Son. And so in the New Testament, we have the teachings of Jesus. You'll remember Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me." And so He reigns up on His throne in heaven. And in the New Testament, we have direct commands, and we have binding examples, and we have necessary inferences. God has told us what to do. He has showed us what to do. He has implied how we should do things. And we have to do His will. He has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. And when He speaks, He means it. He means what He says about salvation, about believing in Him and repenting of our sins, and about being baptized for the remission of sins, and about living a godly and faithful life. He means what He says about His church, the same church that He established on the day of Pentecost. He means what He says about worship and how we are to worship and what we are to do in our worship. He means what He says about sin and how sin should be handled. He means what He says about the importance of our relationships with one another and how those should be handled. When God speaks, ladies and gentlemen, He means it. And if we substitute our way for God's way, then guess what happens? We stand condemned by God. And if we ignore God's commands and we do that, do you know what's going to happen? We have sinned. We have been convicted of sin. And when we fail to do the right thing, that we know better, then we are guilty of sin. When God speaks, ladies and gentlemen, He means it. That's what we learn from this man in Numbers 15. But not only that, we also learn that when there are difficult decisions in life, we need to let the Lord decide what needs to be done. A lot of times we place a lot of stress on ourselves. And again, I don't know about you, but if you're like me, a lot of times when you're about to make a difficult decision in life, something that is just really important, a lot of times what you'll do is you will place the stress all on yourselves, and it's almost as if you feel like you have to come up with the solution all by yourself. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been there where you think you've just got to come up with a solution by yourself? You've got to fix this. You've got to take care of this. And nobody else can help you with that. In Numbers 15, a very interesting situation unfolds right before our eyes. Verse 32 tells us, look back there, verse 32 tells us that there were some men who were out in the wilderness, and the Bible says in verse 32, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. They found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Now I want you to notice that this man was not going out in front of all of the people and gathering wood on the Sabbath day. In fact, when you read the context of this, it appears that he was trying not to get caught. At least that might be a possibility. And I also want you to notice that the sons of Israel were not going out into the woods to police the area. This was not a witch hunt. They were not trying to find someone who was sinning on the Sabbath. The Bible simply tells us that they found him doing this. They found him doing this. In other words, it seems as if, and it seems to me rather, as if they simply stumbled upon him. And when they found him, they had to ask themselves a very important question. What's this guy doing? What are we going to do with this guy? How are we going to handle this situation? Is gathering wood on the Sabbath day, is that really considered work? Is he really working on the Sabbath? And is he really in sin? It's really important for us to notice that these men could have handled this situation in a lot of different ways. They could have said, you know, this is really not that important. Let's not make a mountain out of a molehill. Let's just keep this between us. Let's just move on. They could have said, well, surely God does not mean that this man should be stoned to death for gathering a few sticks. They could have played it like our modern politicians like to play it. They could have said, okay, let's define the word work. And if we don't like the definition, let's redefine the word work and let's make it fit what we want it to say. Gathering wood on the Sabbath in our judgment does not constitute work. And they could have looked the other way and they could have said, you know, we really don't have time for this. But that's not what they did. Instead of all of those possible scenarios, I want you to notice what they did do. They brought this man before Moses and Aaron to see what they thought of the situation. These men knew that this was a difficult situation. They knew that their decision was a life and death matter, literally for this man. But they also knew exactly what the law said. And I want you to notice what Moses and Aaron did not do in this situation. You see, Moses was God's chosen man. He was the leader of God's chosen people. And as the leader, he could have said, you know, God has chosen me to make these judgments and decisions, and so I'm going to give this guy a pass. He could have said, well, you know, I think that we should do, and you just fill in the blank. Or he could have done what a lot of preachers do sometimes. He could have said, well, the Hebrew word for work is this, and it has about 33 different meanings, and I'm going to give you all 33 of them right now, and then tell you that we can't be for sure what it means, and so we're just going to do nothing. We're just going to leave it alone, and we're not going to act, and we're not going to do the right thing. I want you to notice that Moses and Aaron didn't do any of that. They did not do any of that. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not the author of confusion. He does not give us some confusing law or some set of commandments or regulations and say, okay, you go and try to figure out what it means. And oh, by the way, I'm going to judge you by how you obey it. But good luck finding out what it means. Good luck figuring it out. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I don't serve a God like that. I serve a God who is clear and concise in His Word. The Bible tells us that in verse 33, that the sons of Israel brought this man to Moses and to Aaron and to the whole congregation. That means that everybody was there. Everybody's eyes were on the situation. But did you notice the one thing? That they didn't try to take a vote about it. Did you notice that? Everybody was gathered together and it wasn't, okay, well, what does the congregation of people think? They didn't try to take a vote on it. They simply asked God what should be done in this situation. They didn't even try to debate about it like our Washington politicians do. They simply went to God. There were a lot of ways that this situation could have been handled, but they let the Lord decide. They accepted the fact that this was God's decision. And the Lord told Moses and Aaron and the people to put this man to death because he was guilty. I don't know about you, but when I read this story, I sometimes come away with the feeling that, man, that's a little harsh. That's really hard. This man was only gathering a few sticks and you're going to stone him? I don't understand that. And sometimes I look at that and I think, man, that's just really hard. Why in the world would God do that? And the point there, I think, for us to learn is this. God is not partial to anybody. In fact, the Bible plainly teaches that He is no respecter of persons. I want you to go to Psalm chapter 19 with me. Psalm chapter 19. And I want you to see what the psalmist says about the law of the Lord. In verse 7. The law of the Lord, Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Did you hear that? It is perfect. And it produces a result. He says it restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. And you know what? It produces a result as well. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. David clearly teaches us that God is not going to be a God that says, well, you know what, that commandment I made, that wasn't really good. Let me change that. Or you know what? I realize that this generation is new and things change and my commandments are a little old-fashioned. So let me revise some things and kind of get up with the times a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this again. And I've said this before, but if I am called old-fashioned and if it takes old-fashioned to get me to heaven, then by all means, call me old-fashioned. That's extremely important. We need to understand that. And sometimes I wonder something. When I look at this story in Numbers 15, I wonder who it was who threw the first stone. Was it the men who found him in the woods? Was it Moses? Was it Aaron? Was it this man's family? Who threw the first stone? I've got to tell you, that had to take a lot of faith and a lot of courage to do what God commanded them to do. That was a difficult decision. But at the end of the day, they let the Lord decide. Amen. That's important. Number three, when we are faced with a difficult decision, we need to remember that God wants us to be holy and wholly devoted to Him. I don't know about you, but when I read this story, I don't come away with the impression that God was pleased with this man. In fact, we see quite the opposite. God was not pleased with him because he was openly and defiantly transgressing the law of the Lord. Now, when we look at this story, it is important for us to understand the context. Before we ever get to this story in Numbers 15, I want you to notice, and go back to verse 27, and I want you to notice what God is talking about. Because God is talking about the punishment for those who unintentionally transgress God's law. And so there was it was a transgression regardless. But the punishment was different for those who unintentionally transgressed God's law and those who intentionally transgressed God's law. We remember back in Exodus 31 where it said, the person who transgressed the law of the Sabbath shall be put to death. But then God came back and regulated in Numbers 15 and verse 27 through verse 31 what should happen if somebody unintentionally transgressed the law. Read it with me. And if one person sins unintentionally, then he shall offer a one-year-old female goat for a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the person who goes astray when he sins unintentionally, making atonement for him that he may be forgiven. And then we can just stop there. Well, we'll just continue. Look at verse 29. You shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally, for him who is native among the sons of Israel, and for the alien who sojourns among them. But the person who does anything defiantly, whether he is native or an alien, that one is blaspheming the Lord. And that person shall be cut off from among his people because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person will be completely cut off. His guilt will be on him. Clearly, those who sinned unintentionally were given the opportunity to make atonement for their sins. Those who sinned defiantly were told that they would either be completely cut off or be killed. I find that those verses leading up to the story that we are focusing on this morning is no coincidence. Because this man was stoned to death. God had issued his judgment on him because he was clearly being defiant. In all reality, he was trying to get his way. He was probably the type of man who would say something like, you know, this law is ridiculous. Gathering wood on the Sabbath day is no big deal. I'm going to go do whatever I want and nobody else is going to say anything about it. The reality is this man was unholy and he was not wholly devoted to the Lord. His sin was no unintentional sin. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand me when I say this, that God cares about you. God cares about you. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, Peter says that the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to perish. But listen to me, God is not going to accept someone who has an attitude that says, I can get as close to the line as I want and nobody is going to stop me. God is not going to accept the person who is straddling the fence all the time. But God wants the person who says, you know what? I see the line. And if I am going to be holy, and if I am going to be wholly devoted to the Lord, I am going to do the safe thing and I am not going to flirt with it. God wants the person who is going to start his or her day out by asking the question, what can I do to honor my God today? He wants the person who's striving to follow the example of Jesus. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, Peter said, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be set apart for Him. And He wants us to be wholly devoted to Him. Are you? Are you holy in your motives? Are you holy in your speech? Are you holy in your ambitions and your conduct? Does God come first in your life or do you come first in your life? You know, one of the interesting things about this story is that after this man was stoned to death in verse 37, we see that the Lord commanded these people to make tassels for their garments. And every time that they would look at these tassels, it would serve as a reminder for them. A reminder that God calls us to obey Him no matter what, and no matter what we have to do, or what decisions we have to make, He wants us to be holy in these decisions. Notice verse 39 with me. The Bible says, it shall be a tassel for you to look at, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Difficult decisions are inevitable in our lives. They are inevitable. Always remember that when God speaks, He means it. Always remember that when there are difficult decisions, that you have to let the Lord decide. You have to make those decisions based on godly principles in the Bible and based on what God says. And then always remember that God wants you to be holy and wholly devoted to Him in all of your decisions. Thank you so much. He is the Lord. He is God. We are not. If we can help you this morning to obey the gospel. Mark 16 and verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." We would love to help you do that. We would love to see another soul added to the Lord's church today. What a wonderful blessing that would be. If you're here and you've done that, and you have fallen away from God, you have left Him, we'll pray with you and pray for you that God will forgive you. And we know that He will, because He promised us that He would. If we can help you in any way, please come to the front as we stand and as we sing.